this almighty arm, Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material, inferior nature. Please repeat. Besides this, oh mighty arm, Arjuna.
Besides this, oh mighty Arjuna.
There is another superior energy of mind.
There is another superior energy of mind.
Which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resource of this material, inferior nature.
Which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material, inferior nature.
Okay, if we could all mute.
Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here it is clearly mentioned that the living entities belong to the superior nature or energy of the Supreme Lord. The inferior energy is matter manifested in different elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, and mind, intelligence, and false ego. Both forms of material nature, namely gross, earth, etc., unsettled mind, etc., are products of the inferior energy. The living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. And it is due to this energy that an entire material world functions. This cosmic manifestation has no power to act unless it's moved by the superior energy. The living entity. Energies are always controlled by the energetic, and therefore the living entities are always controlled by the Lord. They have no independent existence. They are never equally powerful as unintelligent men think. The distinction between the living entities and the Lord is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.30 as follows. Aparimita Druvastanubrito Yadri Sarvagatas Tarina Sajatini Yamo Druvane Taranta Ayanichaya Mayantar Abimushya Nitraya Babet Sama Manoyatam Yad Atmanam Matadus Tataya. O Supreme Eternal, if the embodied living entity were eternal and all pervading like you, then they would not be under your control. But if the living entities are accepted as minute energies of the Lordship, then they are at once subject to your supreme control. Therefore, real liberation entails surrender by the living entities to your control, and that surrender will make them happy. In that constitutional position only can they be controllers. Therefore, men with limited knowledge who advocate the monistic theory that God and the living entities are equal in all respects are actually guided by a faulty and polluted opinion. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the only controller, and all living entities are controlled by him. These living entities are his superior energies because of the quality of their existence. It's one and the same with the Supreme. But they are never equal to the Lord in quantity of power. While exploiting the gross and subtle inferior energy matter, the superior energy, the living entity, forgets his real spiritual mind and intelligence. This forgetfulness is due to the influence of matter upon the living entity. But when the living entity becomes free from the influence of the illusory material energy, he attains the stage called mukti, or liberation. The false ego, under the influence of the material illusion, thinks, I am matter, and material acquisitions are mine. His actual position is realized when he is liberated from all material ideas, including the conception of his becoming one in all respects with God. Therefore, one may conclude that the Gita confirms living entity to be one of the multiple energies of Krishna. And when this energy is free from material contamination, it becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated. Sorry, the translation one more time. Besides this almighty arm, Arjun, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of material inferior nature. Om Agyanati Merandasya Jananjana Salakaya Shaksuromilitanjana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So clearly it is explained here that there's the higher energy and the inferior energy, but all of it is part of Krishna. The difference, I quote this quite often when I'm talking to people about Krishna consciousness. People have the idea that, oh, well, everything is God. Yes, everything is God, but there's the superior energy and there's the lower energy. And without the higher energy, without the Jivatma, without the inferior energy is more or less useless. Prabhupada explains that very clearly, that you might have a very fancy car, but if there's not somebody there to turn the key on, then the car is useless. If there's not somebody to drive the car is useless. And even if now they have remote control, like drones, and they have remote control, actually full-size vehicles, but still, somebody has to sit behind a monitor to control the vehicle. So they still, the superior energy behind matter. Another point that Prabhupada makes is that the scientists, they keep on trying to fool people and say, oh, if you only mix this chemical with that chemical, then you'll have life. And we know that this is, it's just a theory and it's never been proven, because one of Prabhupada's main points is that life does not come from matter. There's no way. So, because Krishna is present in every little atom, that's why there's this life everywhere. He's in the tree, he's in the stones, he's in the sky, he's in the water. And like he says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, the aquatics, I am the shark, of the mountains, I'm Mount Meru, and he goes on and on. So he says that he's in everything. But we have to understand that there's two kinds of energy. And one is the high energy, and the other was the lower energy. And it's mentioned here that actually Krishna, he controls everybody. And until one comes to that understanding that Krishna is the supreme controller, and if I wanna be happy in this material world, I could try manipulating material energy this way or that way. But usually the happiness that we could achieve through the lower material energy is like more or less non-existent. We might temporarily become illusioned that we're happy, but real happiness means Krishna consciousness. Real happiness means to understand, yes, I am controlled by Krishna. And for those who don't believe that, Prabhupada says there, if somebody doesn't believe that Krishna is God, then he's a rascal. And it's funny because I hear this in a class when I was a young devotee. I heard that on a class, actually, in a tape. Prabhupada said that. I was listening to this tape, and he said, if you ask somebody, do you know who Krishna is? And he says, no, and you tell him, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you ask him, do you accept this? And he says, no. Then he says, then he's a demon. So I thought, whoever I see today, the first person that I see, I will ask him this. So this guest came to the temple, and I asked him the question, and of course he said no, and I told him, you're a demon, you don't know. And he happened to be like a high court judge that came to the temple to complain about some devotee beating up his nephew at the laundromat. And actually he was he was very kind, and he could have sued the temple, but he was a nice person, and he actually had some understanding. But Prabhupada says in many, many places like that, you know. So there's two kinds of people, devotees and demons. And of course, the devotees, they have understood that the difference between the high energy and the lower energy, and that lower energy is there for Krishna's enjoyment. It's not there for our enjoyment. And as devotees, we are trained, and Prabhupada tried to teach us that everything is there for Krishna's enjoyment. Everything we see is there for Krishna's enjoyment. It's not for our enjoyment. And we could enjoy a million more times if we enjoy with Krishna instead of trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. As soon as we understand that principle, then everything is good. Real happiness. We start experiencing real happiness, which is trying to please Krishna. That is the highest happiness. Even if we are not very good at pleasing Krishna, but if we're making the effort to please Krishna, because we understood that he is the higher energy, he is the controller. I'm just a little jiva atma under the illusion that I came here to enjoy, and thanks to the mercy of the spiritual master, although I'm still addicted to trying to be an enjoyer, I'm trying to get away from that concept. And if Krishna sees that we're trying, then he's very pleased, and then actually our whole existence changes, because we start seeing things from a whole different perspective. Like if you lose everything you own, you know, some people, they just lose their investment and they jump from the window, or they lose their wife or their husband, or they're about to go to prison because they were cheating people and they commit suicide because they have no understanding that all of this stuff actually has no meaning. It might appear due to their forgetfulness of Krishna that this is all there is in life. But to the devotee, he understands that if I'm simply trying to please Krishna, and the best way to please Krishna, because we're not capable of pleasing Krishna on our own, we have to go through the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is so kind. Like he's telling us right here on the purport, look, this is what you have to do. It's not very difficult. We simply have to follow the instructions of the guru. And because he has that connection with Krishna, then we start understanding Krishna. Without the pure devotee, we have no understanding. You know, some people, they think that, well, you know, I like Krishna, but I don't like all of these organized religions, and I don't accept any of these teachers, you know. So that's all right. They could be in that position, but it might take them a long, long, long time to go. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that we should try to learn the truth. How? By approaching the spiritual master. And because the self-reliant soul, he has seen the truth, so he could give us that truth. And once we start serving by the order of the spiritual master, then we are on our way to back home, back to Godhead. So I'm going to read a little bit from a class that Prabhupada gave on this verse. So the gross and subtle material energy I already explained in the previous verse. So the bhumir apol nalo bayu kam mano buddhir evacha, air, water, fire and air, mind, intelligence and ego. These are all material energies. It has nothing to do with the spiritual energy. And because it is not spiritual energy, it is called apara or inferior. Just like in our body, there are some superior parts and some inferior parts. We got the brain. That is a superior part. But there are other parts, tupa, stool, and urine. Everything is part of the body. But the position is different, superior and inferior. Similarly, everything is God. Sarvaklamidam Brahma. But still, there must be distinction between the superior and the inferior. Although it is Brahman, still for practical use, there is a superior and inferior in the distinction. Those who do not make this distinction foolishly, they are called Nirvisevari, impersonalist, without any variety. But there are varieties, actually. Although the body is one, there is no doubt about it. But different parts of the body are considered superior and inferior. This is called a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva philosophy, simultaneously one and different. As part of the body, the anus and the genitalia is part of the body, and the brain is also part of the body. Both of them are part of the body, but still, brain is superior. The other are inferior. So in this way, and upon this philosophy, it is called a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. Veda means distinct, and Aveda means one. We should not take one part of the philosophy that everything is one. No. Everything is one. That is a fact. And still, there are different. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter. Maya tatam idam sarvan jagara vyakta murtina. In my impersonal form, I am all pervading jagara vyakta. But much titani sarva bhutani, everything is maintained by me. Matsatani sarva bhutani nateshu avashita. But I am not there. Just like the jail department is also there, part of the government. But the president does not live in the jail. Matsatani sarva bhutani. If the president says the jail department is also my department, that does not mean that the president has to live in the jail. It is a gross example. Similarly, Krishna, God is everywhere, everywhere, not everywhere. His energy is acting everywhere. The superior energy and the inferior energy, this is the material world combination of two energies. Just like this body, your body, my body, everybody's body. What is this? The combination of two energies, the superior energy and the inferior energy. The inferior energy, bumir apo nalo bayu, the gross body, earth, water. This gross body means earth, water, air, and ether. And the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego, these eight combinations. So this is not actually who I am. I am the soul. Therefore, this is apara, inferior. But what am I? That is superior. That is explained here, Jiva Bhuta. Beyond these two gross and subtle body energies, there is another superior energy. Aparayam itatu ayam means another. Itas tu aparayam itas tu aktyam prakitim. Another prakiti energy is there. Bidhi mi param. That is superior. What is that? Jiva Bhuta. The living being, which is within the gross and subtle body, that living being. So then he goes to explain about the modern scientists, how they, you know, the thing like combining matter, they could create life. He actually gave three classes on this particular verse, and I read two other classes. And more or less, he makes out the same points. And of course, he always makes the point that, you know, we have to surrender to Krishna and that we're not the controllers. And he keeps on repeating the same thing, and it works. You know, if we hear the same thing over and over and over, even though we might not accept it or we might not understand it, but eventually it will sink in. And once we start acting on that platform, that yes, I am the inferior energy and Krishna is the only supreme enjoyer, then we start experiencing a little bit of what Krishna consciousness is about. So I'm going to stop there and ask for comments, questions, corrections, challenges.
Okay, well, we're all here.
Hare Krishna, Namaskar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for that nice class. You know the verse that you read is the Sanskrit verse in the purport, right? It says that if the living entities were eternal and all pervading like you, something like that. I can't actually see it now. But you know the verse you took from Bhagavatam. So the living entities, right? They're not all pervading. We can understand that because I'm sitting here and I'm not in Hawaii now. I don't know what's going on. Apart from hearing what's going on, I don't know what's going on. So I'm not all pervading. But so in the material world, right, we are bound by space and time. We are bound by that because we are conditioned. But when the spirit is free, is he also bound by space in some sense? Because is he restricted? Because I thought that in the spiritual world, as it were, you know, you space is not there. So in some sense, he's not bound by space. Is that? Can you say something about that?
As long as we're covered over, you know, if we.
Yes.
Unless we're fully uncovered, like Narada Muni. Narada Muni is totally liberated. So Narada Muni, he travels. There's no time or space. He could go back in time or in the future, travel different planets because he's not covered over. So as long as we're covered over, then we're limited by time and space. It's just like Srila Prabhupada. He was here in the planet with us. But the moment he closed his eyes and started chanting Radha Madhava, he was immediately transported to Krishna Loka. And, you know, you could see he started crying. You know, I saw that once in LA, you know. He started chanting and he only got through like the second line and then he couldn't chant. He choked. And he was crying, you know. So only as long as we're covered over to any degree, when we 100% become pure, we don't have any more cover than, you know, you're pure spirit, so there's no limit to time or space, or you are at the highest level, you know, you are the original level, Satchitananda Vigraha.
Yes. So the difference that, say, Krishna is all pervading, right? He's everywhere at the same time, so he's there. In both the material and spiritual world, he pervades everywhere. So it's a difference that when the soul is not conditioned anymore, he can be somewhere if he decides to be there. He's not there, but if he decides to be there, he can be there. For instance, if I'm a free spirit and I decide to be in Hawaii now, I can be there. It's not that I'm there all the time, but I can come there if I decide to. Is that what you're saying? If I wish to.
Right.
We could have
Ramananda. He's more of a pundit. I just have very basic understanding. I understand the question so far is okay. So the Jivatma is not covered over anymore. So at that point, can he manifest his presence in two different places at the same time?
Are you talking of Krishna? Or are you talking of Jiva?
Jiva.
We're talking of Jiva.
Well, of course, Jiva has got he has limitations. Even though some Jiva do have omniscience, but there is some limitation there as well. As far as knowing what can be in other places, the one quality of Jiva is those who have attained perfection in Savagya. Nobody can actually know past, present, and future. But there are some jivas, like especially those who have attained some mystic city, whereby they can be present in more than two or three places at a time. So that is here. But the only person who can be present in all places in all time is Krishna. So some jivas, they have some certain potency because of their spiritual mystic perfection. They can be present in a few places at one time. But however, only Krishna can be present in every place all the time, as in his with every jiva the same simultaneously. So that's the difference.
Yeah. I read that before in one of Prabhupada's books, exactly what you said, Aishwarya Prabhu, that some jivas could do that, you know, to some degree, but Krishna course, it could be everywhere, at every time, every place. So that would be the difference.
We were just reading in the 11th canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 15, which is called the Mystic Perfection. That's what we're studying right now on Sundays. That's for Vinish Ripuru. And we just went over some verses. I was wondering, was that why you were asking this question?
No, it's not particularly the reason. It's something I'd already thought about for some time. But it's because this verse came up. You know, the verse we read from Bhagavatam, it says that the living entities were eternal and all pervading like you. So it sort of triggered the memory of that thought in my mind.
Well, in 11th canto, chapter 15, verse 11, Krishna begins to explain to Uddhava how one attains different types of mystic powers. And in verse 11, it says, one who absorbs his mind in the particular form of the Mahatattva and thus meditates on me as the supreme soul of the total material existence achieves the mystic perfection called Mahima by further absorbing the mind in the situation of each individual element, such as sky, air, fire, and so on. One progressively acquires the greatness of each element. Isn't that amazing? So as one meditates upon these different aspects of the Mahatattva, then he becomes just like those elements. You know, it's just like he gets a mystic perfection of almost becoming pervading all over the universe. He can move all over. And in the previous verse, let me read you this one here. This is 8-9. It says, the power to know past, present, and future, tolerate heat, cold, and other dualities, knowing the minds of others, checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison, and so on, and remaining unconquered by others. These constitute five perfections of mystic powers of the yoga system and meditation. I am simply listing these, blah, blah, blah. So in the purport, it explains that all of those, knowing past, present, and future, and not being influenced by all, you know, sun, water, poison, etc., those are all very, very inferior mystic powers that one receives. Can you imagine? They're not even worth mentioning. He just mentioned a few of them. Mm-hmm. So these are all Krishna's powers, you know, Yogeshwar, but the living entity attains some of these powers just by meditation upon Krishna.
One of the things that I interesting that I hear on that subject too is that some of the mystic yogis could do this, but they have to be doing the same thing. They could expand, but whatever they are, they're doing the same thing. Whereas Krishna, he could do, you know, millions of different things.
Yeah, I think it was up to 10 expansions.
But they have to be doing the same thing, yeah? They cannot be doing different things. I read that somewhere, yeah.
Well, and of course, those mystic perfections which are listed in the chapter 7 of the Uddhava Gita, which is the chapter 15 of the Bhagavatam 11th canto, when Lord Krishna is explaining all this different mystic perfection, which are 18 of them. So, quite the one that Amrita Prabhu just said is about anima siddhi, whereby one can be able to attain the perfection of mystic siddhi, anima siddhi, which enable one to enter any material object, which one can enter into any living entities, into any living beings and all that. And just like many personalities which have been listed in the Puranas, you find many of those instances. Even people like Durvasamuni, Sukracharya, you know, they all have all these mystic perfections. But you know, but when you read the purports, that all these mystic perfections they are actually deviation. This is actually called the unwarranted fruit which one gains by performing mystic. It's actually not really the goal of yoga. But for those who have been given mystic perfection, then it actually takes away the mind away from the actual goal of life, which is to attain bhakti. So they are considered to be something that is even not worth pursuing by a person who actually sees us in in getting freedom from the material existence. Because one can have all these means of perfection, one will still be in this material world. Well, it's not going to go anywhere. So therefore, what is the usefulness of all those mystic power? This is the purpose, the commentary which was concluded on all these various descriptions of the mystic powers.
Yeah, very good.
Devotees actually have all the mystic powers, but they don't use it because they consider it to be insignificant. They don't use it. Yeah. They have it. I mean, in our own life, from time to time, it will manifest them doing different things, but it's totally insignificant because they don't even give, even though it's within them, they don't give any thought to it. So you don't see those great devotees to be saying, okay, I'm Bhagavan now because I can do this, just so therefore I am Bhagavan, which is very common here in India. You see? Devotees have this mystery, but they don't use it. That's the thing.
Yeah. So I'm trying to understand this a little bit further. You know, like Sri Prabhupada is a liberated soul, right? So now Sri Prabhupada is not physically present here. But devotees, at least when you share sincere and you try to communicate with Sri Prabhupada, pray to him or talk to him or something, you believe that Sri Prabhupada is here. And so by what potency is Sri Prabhupada everywhere, in all the temples, everywhere like that? What is that potency now that Sri Prabhupada is using to pervade?
Sri Prabhupada is not God, he's a servant of God. So indeed, it's not that he's everywhere at all times, all places. Krishna is everywhere at all times, all places, but Sri Prabhupada is a servant of Krishna. And whatever Krishna wanted to be, that's where you will find him. And also, for a true disciple, Guru, Sri Prabhupada is always present. The Guru is never away anywhere. But actually, the Guru means, is because he said that, not on the circle, he said, Chakudan Dilo Jame Jame Prabhu, he said that my Lord and Master is my Lord that of above. So the Guru is always there. Like I was just going through Vriya Bhagavatamrita, whereby one devotee, Gopal Kumar, he was going through different stages of perfection. Yeah, he was going through so many different planets. But whenever he needed the help of his guru, the guru immediately appeared to him. Because the guru has given him a mantra, and that mantra is the reason is the seed of his perfection. So which means when you stick to that mantra given by the guru, when you focus on that mantra, that's become the seed of the perfection. And Guru is always there for the sincere disciples. So it's not that the Guru is never gone. The Guru doesn't go away because Guru is eternal. Guru is eternal principle. And then there's only a few connections with him to the extent by which we actually follow, by which we actually be the actual disciple in terms of following the actual disciplines of a spiritual life. So based on our experience, it can be at all time, or it cannot. We can feel that it's not with us. It's all based on our seriousness in Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada did say that he was present in his books, so that's one form, kind of what you're mentioning. You know, he did mention many times that I'll be gone, but my books will be here. So Prabhupada is present in the books.
Yes.
Very nice questions, Prabhu.
Yes, thank you, James Prabhu.
Anybody else?
Don't forget, tomorrow is Ekadashi, at least here in Hawaii.
Oh, tomorrow?
Unless I made a mistake. I better check before I say that.
Ekadashi is tomorrow here in India, which means it's there tomorrow, your time in America.
Isn't tomorrow Wednesday? Yeah, so it's Ekadashi. Yeah, tomorrow's Ekadashi.
Okay.
No, because anyway, I don't know which day you celebrate Jamashtami. Was it Sunday your time or Monday your time?
Sunday.
If you celebrate Jamashtami on Sunday, then Ekadashi is on Thursday. Because Ekadashi is Ashtami means 8, the next day is 9. After that is 10, then after that is 11. So the proper calculation, according to the time, will be Thursday. Because that is Ekadashi means 11th day of the month. We have a duodacy. I'm sorry, we have a navani, which is a Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, which was celebrated on Monday, you know, here in India. And then the following day is navani.
According to the Vaishnav calendar, that I don't know if the calculations are right, but it says that here in Hawaii, tomorrow is Amada.
That is some weird calculation for the Hawaii section. But according to us, you know, it's Thursday for us here, which is the which is the 25th of the month.
The 24th is Akadashi for us tomorrow.
Anyway, somebody is doing some weird calculation over there.
Yeah, because maybe of the time change. It's always different in India and over here where we are.
I think because of Prabhu is over there, maybe you can ask him.
They calculated somehow.
Are you in contact with him? Hey, Prabhu, are you in contact with Gokeshwar?
You're talking to us?
Yeah, yeah.
Gorkeshwar, he's on Maui, but I don't know how to contact him.
Because he's there, so he's a pundit. He can always say something on that line.
Yeah, so the Vaishnav calendar sometimes is not accurate when it makes calculations?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes they make a miscalculation sometimes.
Oh, really? I thought they
make mistakes. No, they do make mistakes.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, whatever you have to follow, but they do make mistakes many times.
Huh.
Well, they've been trying to address how to correct some of those mistakes. They've been trying to address it. But technically speaking, if Jamastami is 22nd, then Ekadasi will be 25th. Technically speaking.
25th.
So, Ramananda Prabhu, to be safe, you can observe two Ekadasis.
Yeah. Say that, observe two Ekadasis?
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, just to be on the safe side.
No popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, man, very good answer.
Anyway, you have to follow what you have, and then depending on Krishna, we can do, take a rest.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, we're looking forward to your class tomorrow night, Ishwara Prabhu. By the way, it looks like Mother Damayanti is back in the States, so she'll be giving Bhagavad Gita classes again soon.
Nice.
Tuning into our classes. I still really like her classes. Okay, so you want to close this up, Prabhu?
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Pancha Kalpa Vriksha, Kripa
Sindhya Pujitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavyo, Namo Namaha,
Radhe Radhe,
Haribo,
Haribo.
Tomorrow is Ekadasi. Oh, well, good.